because you do what you want from passion. And the problem with us is that we are more passionate for the things of this world than we are about the things of God. Oh, we do the religious deal well. We just don't do the passion for Christ well. Oh, we've taken the emotion, dare I say, the spirit, out of our faith, lest we get too emotive. And yet I'm in love with my husband, totally. If he's got my heart, he's got me. If Jesus has my heart, he has me. But if you keep your heart out of your faith and it's just your intellect and it's just a bunch of rules and regulations, you will soon get bored of this whole deal. And then you'll sneak out and indulge in a whole lot of other stuff because somehow you've got to satisfy the God-given passion that is put on the inside of every single one of us. You know, I wonder who really is lost. Of course, I understand the theology that the lost are lost, but let me just explain this. We would all agree that you and I are living epistles. We are God's love letter sent to this lost and broken world. If I send a letter home to my mother in Australia and the letter gets lost en route, do I say my mother is lost? Or do I say the letter is lost? I'm wondering whether we got lost en route. Whether we, the church, are the lost love letter to this lost and broken world. We call them lost, and of course Scripture refers to the lost as lost because they are lost, but I really wonder whether many of us are lost. Because somewhere, every day when God says, oh, you're my love letter to that workplace, to that school, to that university, wherever your world is, you're my love letter to them, does the letter actually get delivered? Do the people at the other end actually even get it? Because so many of us, we get lost in our debates about theology. We get lost in our comparisons amongst ourselves. We get lost in our debates about doctrine or tradition or culture or styles. And we've heard two beautiful sermons about all of that today. I'm just tying it all together. But we've got lost. Lost chatting about everything except for the one thing that we're here supposedly to be consumed with. And we're not lostologists. And when you no longer understand the lost because you're so busy being lost yourself, you then get into fear. So you avoid the very people you're meant to reach because you fear them because you've forgotten who you are and you've forgotten what you're on assignment to do. Now remember, the job of mission is way too important to leave to the missionaries. See, many of us come from Christian traditions where we have a strong missions emphasis, but we almost create departments to excuse the majority of the church from being the church because that's what the missionaries do. It's not what we do because I just go to work and I have my nice little house and I have my nice little comfortable lifestyle and I'm exempt from doing that, but I'm going to send an offering to the missionary. God bless them because that's for the elite troops of the church. That's for the Navy SEALs. That's for the big guns. That's for the Billy Grahams. That's for the Peter Pretoriuses. That's for the Chris Canes. That's for the Navy SEALs of the Christian church. The rest of us, we're just normal. And our job is comfort and convenience. We just got to make sure we protect ourselves. I want to read you a scripture so you don't get nervous that I actually haven't read the Bible because I know people do get nervous about that. I have quoted scripture much. Miss Beth will give you beautiful theology, but now you just get me. If you put up John chapter 17, the guys that are tracking with me are freaking out because they're thinking she hasn't said anything she was going to say yet. So here we go. This is Jesus. Just keep preaching. My prayer is not, Jesus says, that you would take them out of the world. I wonder if that ever gets your attention. When Jesus is praying and saying, let me just qualify what I'm not saying. Let me qualify what I'm not saying. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. He goes on, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. We've heard that beautifully from Dr. Evans. And then we go on, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. Here we go, the kicker, verse 18. As you sent me into the world, I've sent them into the world. Now, I think these three verses have been taken out of most Christian Bibles. I think that because for some reason we spend a whole lot more of our time trying to get out of the very place where God sent us into. We spend a whole lot of time condemning and judging and arguing about and writing blogs about and writing, having discourse about the very place that Jesus said, look, I do not pray, Father, that you take them out of the world, but that just in the same way you didn't take me out of the world. They're not of the world, just as I'm not of the world. Sanctify them by thy word. Thy word is truth. As you sent me, I send them. Job profile at the end of a chapter on unity that we're going to hear so much about. And if you're asking me why we're missing it all, it's predominantly about this. Because we are scared of the very world that God has called us into because of the marred image that we have of the Father and the very warped view we have of each other. And you will only ever love the world just as you love yourself. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. We do love our neighbor as we love ourselves. We just hate ourselves and we don't like each other. And so Jesus says, would you get yourselves sorted out? Because by this will all men know that you are my disciples, not by your big building campaigns, not by your big worship CDs, not by how many books you sell, but here you go, knock yourselves out. This is how they're going to know that you're my disciples. You'll love one for the other. But since you all hate each other, you've come away from the world because they'll never know that you're my disciples. And you go into that world every now and again, you build building programs and you sell a lot of CDs and you sell a lot of books and you try to impress them because you want them to think you're as good as them. But you are actually not even supposed to measure yourself like that. What you're supposed to do is actually love yourselves and get out of your little Christian bubble and put yourselves back in the world. Love each other in the midst of that, and then they will all know that you are my disciples. It's not complex. This is not complex. You have to get a lot of degrees to complicate this deal. So what did we do? We went, oh my gosh, I'm not of the world. I am not of that big, bad, ooga booga monster, the world. So I'm going to come out from amongst themest and be yeest separatist in King James Englishist, of courseist. Now, I'm not of them. That is so worldly. I don't really know what worldly is. So dancing. And now it depends which tradition you're from, how long, makeup. So for some traditions, I'm scoring well today. Long hair, short hair, tattoos, piercings, drinking, not drinking, smoking, not smoking. Okay, what other external behavior modifications can I put into this list? Because, of course, Christianity is not a heart transformation program. It's just a behavior modification program. So let me see what else I can talk about that's an external behavior modification. And this is it. I'm not worldly. Because I don't drink and I don't smoke and I don't have tattoos and I don't have piercings and I don't know and I don't do anything and I'm beige and I've had a personality bypass and I've had a lobotomy and I'm a Christian and I have no idea what I should be doing. Oh, but I know what I don't do. And in fact, it's so hard not to do those things. And I'm trying to not have sex and I'm trying not to do this and I'm trying and hurry up Jesus and the rapture so I can just be spared from not doing all these things that I really want to do. Now, I don't know what I should be doing, but bless God. Bless God I didn't press the click button again one more day. Whew. Bless God I didn't cuss today. And Jesus Christ came from heaven to earth, died on a cross and rose again from the dead so I wouldn't get a tattoo. Whew, that's pretty awesome. Or take another drink. Man, it's pretty awesome. Could have just gone to a psychologist and not done that. But anyway, that's all right. And so we don't know what to do. So what we've done is we've built a little defense fortress around us because I don't know what I should be doing and I need to protect myself and it's us four and no more and I'm just waiting for the rapture and I just don't know what to do and there's that big, bad, ooga booga monster, horrible, ugly world over there and it's so worldly. Now, the problem is we don't read the Bible very much, but if we did, it would be very interesting to find what the Bible calls worldly because I couldn't find sort of dancing in there. But anyway, what I did find was things like lying, cheating, abuse and slander and gossip and envy and greed and sexual immorality and dissension. I've got the whole list except I never looked at my notes. Lying, cheating, stealing, gossip, slander, envy, greed, lust, immorality, idolatry, hatred, discord, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, hatred, fits of rage, unforgiveness, bitterness, lovers of selves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, Without love, rash, conceited, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. Not much in there about hair length or makeup or dancing or clothes style or music styles or body piercing or pre-post or mid-tribulation theology or gifts of the Spirit or infant or adult baptism or small groups or mega churches or liturgical or contemporary style of worship or missional or attractional churches or having a... Oh, not much in there about any of that. Not much in there. But see, this is the deal. Jesus says, I want you smack bang in the middle of it, but I don't want you of it. So this is what we do. Hang on a minute. Now, this is not the American church, just the Australian church, okay? So when we came out from amongst them as to be yeist separatist and got behind our artificial social construct, some call it the church, and we got behind our little defense fortress, we brought us with us. So we haven't got tattoos and we don't drink, but lying, gossip, slander, envy, hatred, selfish ambition, dissensions, and the list goes on. I need you to hear what I'm about to say. Hopefully it'll tie everything together. So instead of being in the world, but not of it, we're over here. And we are of the world, but not in it. You cannot change a world you are not in. And listen to the kicker. You cannot change a world you are the same substance as. When Jesus says in Matthew 5, 13 and 14, oh, we love these scriptures. You are the salt and you are the light. These are catalytic agents. These are agents of change. They change the very substance they come into contact with. If you're the same as the substance you come into contact with, you'll never change it. You have to be different to create something that is different. Now, that is really hard because to be over there, you've got to be a Christian. But to be over here, you don't even have to be a Christian. You do not have to be regenerated. You do not have to be born again. You just have to know how to act like one. And you just now have to know how to talk like one. Praise God, I've been redeemed and sanctified and justified by the blood of the Lamb. And as long as I can talk the talk, and as long as my behavior is modified, I may not even be regenerated. But here, whew, you've got to be the real deal. You ever noticed a non-Christian knows exactly how a Christian should act? Ever noticed a non-Christian knows exactly how a Christian should be? But what we've done is we've taken all the salt in the salt shaker and we've poured it all into one place. Do you know if you had a piece of steak and you had a whole lot of salt and you poured the salt shaker, the entire contents onto one piece of steak, you'd take a bite of that steak and you'd spit it out because it's unpalatable. That's what we've become to this world. We have taken the whole salt, created a Christian subculture, and we try to force feed it into them, and they spit us out because we are unpalatable. And Jesus said, would you just get a clue? Would you just get back into this world and in the marketplace, salt it here and salt it there, and be my light and bring my love and grace and mercy and truth and justice in the midst of a lost and a broken world? Would you just be the church? Would you stop acting like the church? And would you be the church over here? And if we did that, I need to finish it with this because I need you to get this. I'm sorry that I'm not being eloquent, but I just want you to get what I'm saying. What happens is then the missionary comes to town once a year. In our churches, flips open the Bible to Matthew 28. And we think, oh no, the great suggestion, the guilt trip. The guilt trip. And we already switch off because that's for the missionaries, as if the role of the mission is only left to the missionaries. And this is what happens. They come in and we go, that's not me. Christine, that's not my love language. That's not my strength finder. That's not where I fit on the DISC profile. That's not my gift mix. I'm like, wow. We write Christian books to excuse Christians from being Christians. There is only one love language. It's called die to self. That's really ultimately the only one. Even Jesus himself said, I really don't want to do this. It's not my love language. It's not where I fit on the DISC profile. It's not my strength finder. But nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And what happens is we go, okay then, okay. So now we've got the guilt trip. Let's pick the four weirdos in the church, those elite troops, you know, the weird ones. And they're going to be the missionaries, and they've got the four spiritual laws track, and we're going to give them that track, and they're going to get in a holy huddle on a Friday night. And, you know, if you're from my tradition, you shunda hunda kawasaki. But if you're from your tradition, it might be a soft, reflective, deep, introspective prayer, whatever it is. And so what happens is I'm all prayed up and I'm ready. And so then the drawbridge goes down because I'm about to go into all the world because this is my evangelism night. So I've got my four spiritual laws track. I've got some poor guy in the middle of Dallas. He's been working all week. I have zero relationship with him, but this is my evangelism night. And so I've got my little track and I shove it in his face. And I said, did you know Jesus Christ died for our sin? If you don't repent right now, you're going to die and go to everlasting hell. I want you to say this incantational prayer after me. Oh my gosh, it's 10 o'clock. I'm a Christian. I turn into a pumpkin. If you want to look like me, sing like me, dance like me, next Sunday, 10 o'clock, come and visit me. And we come over here and then we put up our little defense fortress, another notch on our Bible. Praise God. Hallelujah. I did my evangelism. And evangelism is something that someone else does because that's not me. And that's someone else's responsibility because it's not mine. And we forget that Jesus says that we're all called to be his witnesses. Jesus said in John 18, 37, for this cause, there's a cause, church. For this cause I came to earth, that my life would bear witness to the truth. Not that I would give a series of exegetical truths or great little discussions about my existence, my death, my resurrection, but my life would bear witness to the truth of this word. Not we are given strength to do witnessing. We are given strength to be witnesses. And what we have done is while we sit over here on the other side, totally disconnected from the very world that God called us to, then we just continue to think, I do not have a responsibility. I'm too busy doing church over there to be the church over here. And God, loud and clear at this conference, has said to us, it's time for the church to be the church, not just to do a bunch of religious rituals. And to understand the lost is not somebody else's responsibility. It's why we're here. And when you get off mission, you have to distract yourself with a whole lot of dissensions to justify your existence until Jesus comes back. God never called us to a comfortable, safe, risk-free Christianity. Jesus didn't come to make us safe. Death is the ultimate statistic. One out of one will die. So get over yourself. We're all going to die. And so the fact is, Jesus didn't come to make us safe. He came to make us dangerous to the kingdom of darkness. He came to make us dangerous. I'm going to read you this. It's a poem I came across years ago. I don't even know who wrote it. It says anonymous, but it's called The Pit. It says, a man fell into a pit and could not get himself out. A subjective person came along and said, I feel for you down there. An objective person came along and said, it's logical that someone would fall down there in the pit. A Christian scientist came along and said, you only think you're in a pit. A Pharisee said, only bad people fall into the pit. A newspaper reporter wanted the exclusive story on the pit. A fundamentalist said, you deserve your pit. Confucius said, if you had listened to me, you wouldn't be in the pit. Buddha said, your pit is just a state of mind. A realist said, that's a pit. A scientist calculated the pressure necessary per pound and square inch to get him out of the pit. A geologist told him to appreciate the rock strata in the pit. A tax man asked him if he was paying taxes on the pit. The council inspector asked him if he had a permit to dig a pit. An evasive man came along and avoided the subject of the pit altogether. A self-pitying person said, you haven't seen anything until you've seen my pit. A charismatic said, just confess you're not in the pit. An optimist said, things could get worse. A pessimist said, things will get worse. Jesus, seeing the man, knelt down, reached out his hand, and pulled him out of the pit. That's what we're called to do in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. God bless you, church. Thank you.